And we are live here on the Fantrax YouTube and Twitter pages talking Week 12 fantasy football. My name is Nick Scripp. I'm the NFL content lead here at Fantrax. And each week I dive into the full slate of games and I try to highlight who has a positive matchup. How do I do this? I typically look at yardage given up by defenses, fantasy points per game given up by defenses. And then I just take a look at those specific players and say, you know, who's trending up, right? Who's had some good performances? Who has some signs of better days to come? So there's a lot of moving pieces in this. Week 11 was an absolute smash hit for me. It was my best week of the season. I tweeted out the guys that I hit on that I spoke about within that article. Just going down the list here, Calvin Ridley, Brock Purdy, Devontae Adams, Justin Fields, Jordan Love, DK Metcalf, Devin Singletary, James Cook, Puka Nacua, Breece Hall, Darius Slayton. That was a good one. Tony Pollard, Joshua Dobbs, Adam Thielen, and Mike Evans were all guys that were in the last week's piece, and they were talked about live on the Fantrax YouTube and Twitter pages. So excited to talk about Week 12. We have a very, very interesting week to come. So we're live here, middle of the day, had the day off. So I'm like, let's get after it right away. So stick with me here. Tell your friends, tell your family that Fantrax is live. All right, I have a lot of guys to go through and speak on, so let's get after it right away. So real quick, we have three games on Thanksgiving. Then we have a game on Friday, which is very strange, but I'm not going to complain about it. Then we have a full slate of Sunday games. We got a lot of football this week, a lot to look forward to. It's nearing crunch time for, you know, us to make or not make the fantasy football playoffs. So first guy on the list, Thursday slate, Jaden Reed against the Lions. The Lions allow the 12th most fantasy points per game to wide receivers this season. Jaden Reed has finished as the wide receiver 11 for fantasy football in back-to-back weeks, scoring 19.4 and 19.2 points in those games. Reed caught all five targets for 84 yards and a touchdown in week 10. In week 11, Reed caught four of six targets for 46 yards, but then he rushed the ball three times for 46 yards and a touchdown. Week 11 marked the third time the second-round rookie has scored 19-ish fantasy points this season. And you have to figure with guys like Christian Watson not truly stepping up in this offense that a guy like Jaden Reed that they spent that second-round draft capital on should continue to see opportunities. Someone asked me in the mailbag episode who I'd want on my team rest of season. Hot take, I think it's Jaden Reed. I mean, the guy is going out there and performing for Green Bay. And the Lions are a top 12 matchup in fantasy points per game allowed. Same game, David Montgomery faces the Packers, who allow the 11th most fantasy points per game to running backs and the 5th most rushing yards per game this season. After missing two games, David Montgomery returned to lineups in Week 10 following the Week 9 bye. He rushed 12 times for 116 yards and a touchdown in Week 10. And then the next week, he rushed 12 times for 76 yards and a touchdown. So both weeks were around 17-ish fantasy points, 17.6, 17.8. Playing 38% and then 40% of the snaps. So he was highly efficient with his yardage and his production on limited snaps and pretty much limited touches. Jahmyr Gibbs out-touched Montgomery in Week 10, 17-12, but the two had even touches in Week 11 with 14. So it went from, hey, Jahmyr Gibbs is on fire, we're going to get, you know, him the ball a little bit more, to now it's a split backfield again. Montgomery actually out-carried Gibbs last week 12-8. He scored 8 rushing touchdowns this season with 3 weeks over 100 yards rushing. And I looked this up via StatMuse, but David Montgomery has 124 carries for 575 yards and has scored 6 touchdowns in 8 games against Green Bay. So book week 12 to be another big week for David Montgomery. Next game on Thursday, we have the Commanders versus the Cowboys. Logan Thomas. So the Cowboys are a rough matchup for fantasy football in terms of what they allow points per game to each position. But they are the most friendly when comparing what they give up to the other positions to tight ends. They rank 18th in points per game allowed, so not necessarily a plus matchup, but the most friendly for fantasy football. So against a tough defense, I feel like Sam Howell's easy outlet in this game could be Logan Thomas, who looks to have a good connection with him in his first year as a full-time starter. Thomas was targeted 8 times in week 11, which is the 4th time this season Thomas has earned that or more targets in a game. Thomas is tied for 9th in targets for the tight end position. 58 receiving yards in week 11 were a season high for him as well. So nothing spectacular, but coming off of a game with good yardage for a tight end. He's finished 6 weeks with 40-plus receiving yards this season. So against a tough defense, being a reliable outlet, being a guy that has been consistently targeted pretty much for the majority of the season, Logan Thomas against the Cowboys. Dak Prescott against the Commanders, who allow the most fantasy points per game to quarterbacks and the 3rd most passing yards per game this season, just seems like a smash play for fantasy football and DFS. Down week 11 for Dak Prescott for fantasy football, but in the 4 games prior, he was on absolute fire. Quarterback 1, quarterback 2, quarterback 3, and quarterback 1 going backwards to week 6. Dak has finished 3 games with over 300 passing yards. He had 404 in week 10, which just shows you high upside through the year. In 5 games with multiple passing touchdowns, Dak is currently 9th in passing yards, but he's tied for 3rd in passing touchdowns on the year. I don't think Dak Prescott gets the love that he deserves, and he has been balling out the last 5 games, last week being just the asterisk of it. Smash matchup to get right back on track. Then we have the 49ers versus the Seahawks. Christian McCaffrey obviously is in your fantasy football lineups every week, but this might be the week to go and pay up for him in DFS. The Seahawks allow the 6th most fantasy points per game to running backs this season, and their middle of the road fantasy matchup to quarterbacks and wide receivers. So I feel like not being like the best wide receiver or quarterback matchup, but being a plus one for running backs even more emphasizes Christian McCaffrey. McCaffrey ranks 2nd in carries with 174, 2nd in targets with 52, 1st in red zone touches with 48, and 1st in rushing yards with 825, 2nd in receptions with 43, 1st in receiving yards with 364, and 1st in total touchdowns with 14 for the position, aka he's really good, and I think he's going to be heavily leaned on in this Seahawks matchup. So I have an asterisk next to DK Metcalf. He's currently questionable, but I did want to plug him here. The 49ers allow the 8th most fantasy points per game to wide receivers this season. I say this often, just because a defense is good doesn't mean that they're not friendly to a specific position. So the 49ers defense, are they good? Yes, but they're friendly when it comes to fantasy football to the wide receiver position. DK is coming off of his best fantasy week of the season, catching 5 of 9 targets for 94 yards and a touchdown, 20.4 fantasy points. He finished with 98 receiving yards in the game prior, so that's back-to-back games of almost 100 receiving yards. He's getting close to it. It's showing positive receiving yard trend in the right direction. What stands out the most for me is the target volume since returning from a missed week 7. So 14, 4, that's our asterisk, 12, and 9 targets across the last 4 weeks is great volume for DK Metcalf. So it's a positive matchup against a tough offense for a player who is trending up. If he's good to go, we like DK Metcalf this week. So here's the Friday game. We got one Friday game, the Dolphins versus the Jets. I want to plug Raheem Mostert. The Jets allow the 10th most fantasy points per game to running backs and the 3rd most rushing yards per game this season. Devon Achane, the rookie with a ton of flair, re-aggravated his knee last week when he returned to the lineup. Raheem Mostert didn't necessarily light it up for fantasy football, but he did rush for a season high 22 times, and he finished with 86 rushing yards. So to me, very positive getting that sort of volume. And 86 rushing yards, maybe it's not, you know, wildly efficient, but it's a good mark. Mostert has finished 5 games this season with 82 or more rushing yards, with highs of 121 and 115 on the year. He has 13 touchdowns on the season and has finished 3 weeks as a top 5 fantasy football running back. So you have to expect him to see plenty of volume now that Achane is back off the field against a defense that is letting opposing running backs run all over them, but they're tougher through the air. Same game, another guy with an asterisk because he's currently questionable, so we have to pay attention to this. But Garrett Wilson, the Dolphins allow the 10th most fantasy points per game to wide receivers this season. Tim Boyle will replace Zach Wilson as the Jets starting quarterback in week 12, which we're not sure what the impact is going to be. Is it going to be an upgrade? Is it going to be the same? Is it going to be worse? We don't really know. Zach Wilson has just a bigger sample size, and we can, you know, really dig into the Tim Boyle attributes and skill sets. But I think bottom line, despite mediocre play this season, Garrett Wilson has still managed three top 20 fantasy finishes for the position across the last four games following the bye. So things have been looking better for him. Wilson ranks sixth in targets with 103 for wide receivers. He averages 10.6 per game, and he's top 20 in receiving yards and yards after the catch. So highly targeted. He's producing as a top 20 player. We all wanted him to be a top 10 player this year, but he's still doing what he can with what he's getting, right? Regardless of who the quarterback is, I think the targets should continue to come to Garrett Wilson, who is far, far more targeted than anybody else in that Jets wide receiver room or on the team in general. He's obviously a big part of the weekly game plan. The hope is that with a positive matchup and the positive target volume, he can produce this week. So now let's get to Sunday. Rashad White. So Rashad White faces the Colts, who allow the fourth most fantasy points per game to running backs this season. Since week 7, Rashad White has finished as the running back 12, running back 10, running back 1, running back 11, and running back 14. And he's ranged from 15.9 to 27.9 fantasy points during this stretch. He's currently running back 6 overall for the year. He's averaging 15 fantasy points per game. A ton of his production comes through the air. I think we know this by now. He ranks 3rd in receptions with 41 and 2nd in receiving yards with 354 in the season. 4 weeks of 5 or more receptions just kind of shows that. Another major perk has been the workhorse role. He has played 70% plus of the snaps in every game this season, and at 80% plus of the snaps in 4 weeks. So we have a solid matchup for a pass-catching running back who gets solid volume on a weekly basis. So we like Rashad White to continue rolling this week. Next on the list, I'm being a little bit spicy with this. I tweeted about it earlier, but Josh Downs. So Josh Downs faces the Buccaneers, who allow the 4th most fantasy points per game to wide receivers and the 2nd most passing yards per game this season. The easy player to point out when you read that off is Michael Pittman Jr. But again, I want to be spicy. I want to talk about a potential bounce back. I want to talk about a potential flex play for this week. Josh Downs is trending in a poor direction. He's played 20% and then 25% of the snaps the last two games prior to the bye, earning just 4 total targets in those. The context, though, is that Downs has been dealing with a knee injury that he has continued to play through. So we have to look at what he's done this season. If he wasn't a guy that's produced at a high level, we wouldn't mention him here, right? Because things have been trending down. But if we look at weeks 3 through 8, where he ranked 19th in targets, 13th in receptions, 13th in receiving yards, and he tied for 14th in total fantasy points. So being top 15 across a lot of those statistics, even top 20 during that stretch as a rookie, is very appealing. That just screams flex play. Gardner Minshew played a majority of all but one of those games, so the connection with him was already established. I have a feeling that week 11, during that bye, he was able to rest that knee, and I think there's the potential that that's what he needed for him to be back on track week 12 to, one, playing a higher percent of the snaps, and then, number two, producing at a flex-worthy value for this week. Ramondre Stevenson faces the Giants, who allow the 7th most fantasy points per game to running backs and the 4th most rushing yards per game this season. Stevenson exited briefly in week 10 with a back issue, but then he came back following, and we had positive tests as well for that back. He ended up with a season high in rushing attempts with 20 and rushing yards with 88. Stevenson has rushed for 87 and 88 yards in the two games prior to the week 11 bye, so he's been rushing the ball well. 3 weeks of 5 or more receptions and 3 games of 40-plus receiving yards for Stevenson shows the dual threat ability, right? So positive matchup to land on following the week 11 bye. That gave him some rest for that back. Another guy with an asterisk next to him because he does have an injury. I guess it's his neck. At first it said his arm, but now I guess it's his neck, so we have to monitor it. But I want to plug him because I hit well on him last week. The Patriots allow the 11th most fantasy points per game to wide receivers this season. My dart throw of the week last week was Darius Slayton. He ended up finishing with 18.2 fantasy points, so it was a true sleeper hit of the week. And in a FanTrax graphic, I predicted that he would catch 4 passes for 70 yards and have a touchdown. So it's on Twitter, it's on Instagram. That was my prediction. And he ended up with, I think, 82 yards and a touchdown on 4 catches. So I was under predicting and projecting him last week for him to overproduce that. So I was very close. I had the touchdown. I had the four catches. He just had 12 more yards, which, hey, that's even better for him, right? So six games of five or more targets while playing a majority of the snaps pretty much makes it clear that he is part of the game plan every week, right, Slayton? I think there's guys that have kind of fluctuated, Wandale Robinson, Jalen Hyatt, people had hope for Paris Campbell. Sterling Shepard has had a history of relevance, and he's not now. I think Slayton is just a guy that we've seen receiving yard upside from in the past. He's a guy that's on the field pretty much the whole time, and he's a guy that's getting some decent targets. So if he ends up not playing, if he ends up missing this week, I take a look at Wandale Robinson, especially with Tommy DeVito coming off of a good week for him. Next, we have Pat Freiermuth. So the Bengals allow the fourth most fantasy points per game to tight ends this season. Pittsburgh fired their offensive coordinator, Matt Canada, on Tuesday, which hopefully means a turning point to this passing offense. I'm hoping that firing Matt Canada just means, hey, Kenny Pickett has been terribly inefficient. I listed off the categories elsewhere, but you know, Player Profiler is a good resource of just showing how inefficient Kenny Pickett's been. So is that all Matt Canada? No. I think Kenny Pickett's been bad. Has Kenny Pickett been set up to be successful? We can also say no, right? I think there's a chance that they change things up to try to emphasize, let's make Kenny Pickett more successful. Let's put him in a position to be, you know, a bit more efficient with what he does. And maybe that's quicker outlet plays. Maybe that's like quicker plays to Deontay Johnson and Pat Freiermuth. And then we can keep the defense honest with George Pickens down the field. I'm not a coach. I can't even speak on stuff like that, but mathematically it just like makes sense. So Freiermuth only earned one target in 53% of the snaps played last week. It was his return game from injury. He did open up the season though, scoring two touchdowns across the first three games, which matched the total touchdowns he scored last season. So he was off to a good start when it came to that category that he was good with his rookie season, scoring seven, but he was horrible with in his sophomore year. Last season, he was two targets shy of 100 targets. He produced 732 receiving yards. So this guy has been this guy has been important to the Steelers offense. He's been well connected with Kenny Pickett. He should be getting closer and closer and closer to being 100% healthy. And in such a tight end plus fantasy matchup, I do like Pat Freiermuth this week. Joe Mixon, the Steelers allow the 12th most fantasy points per game to running backs and the 10th most rushing yards per game this season. The Bengals will be without Joe Burrow, unfortunately, for the rest of the season. He tore a ligament in his throwing wrist last week. A backup quarterback and potentially another week with T. Higgins, I think, kind of emphasizes, hey, we got to emphasize some plays to Joe Mixon. We got to get him involved in the passing game. Mixon rushed for 69 yards and caught five passes for 31 yards and a touchdown. Last game, since the week 7 bye, Mixon has finished as the running back 8, the running back 9, the running back 22, and the running back 6 for fantasy football. So we're looking at three solid finishes out of the last four games. So the week bye did him some justice. Four total touchdowns during the stretch in 2 weeks of five or more receptions. Show some safety to his fantasy scoring. Three top 10 finishes across the last four games. A good matchup. Missing the starting quarterback. Potentially missing T. Higgins. Look for Joe Mixon to stay involved in the passing game and have another good week. Adam Thielen faces the Titans, who allow the 6th most fantasy points per game to wide receivers and the 13th most passing yards per game this season. Even in a tough Dallas matchup last week, Thielen still produced. He caught 8 of 11 targets for 74 yards, 15.4 fantasy points. Since the bye, Thielen has been very cold, though. The stretch of three games leading up to week 11 was not looking great for his fantasy production. I witnessed him live against the Bears on that Thursday night football game. I was there. He was not great. Thielen has finished as a top 5 fantasy wide receiver in 3 weeks this season, with those weeks ranging from 27.7 to 31.5 fantasy points. The volume is what is intriguing when it comes to Adam Thielen, who averages 9.7 targets per game with 6 games of double-digit targets this season. So we have a positive matchup. He's coming off of a decent week against a great defense, and consistent target volume, I think, should equal a solid week 12. Derrick Henry. So the Panthers allow the 2nd most fantasy points per game to running backs and the 9th most rushing yards per game this season. A bounce-back week. is coming for Derrick Henry, who has finished with under 6 fantasy points in back-to-back weeks with 12 or fewer touches in each of those games. They were blown out, the Titans, by the Jaguars 34-14. That meant only 38 offensive plays via RotoWire's article for the Titans. The week prior, the Titans lost to the Buccaneers 20-6. So these two game scripts have not been in the favor of Derrick Henry. Henry has finished as the running back 7 in week 4, running back 5 in week 6, running back 12 in week 8, and running back 6 in week 9 this season. He's rushed 22 or more times in 3 games this year. And in such a positive running matchup against the 1-9 Panthers, I feel like the Titans are going to lean on Derrick Henry versus Will Levis in this matchup. Evan Ingram faces the Texans, who allow the second most fantasy points per game to tight ends this season. Evan Ingram has had a down last 2 games following the week 9 bye, but he's finished as a top 12 tight end in 7 games and a top 7 tight end in 5 games this season. One of those top 7 finishes came in week 3 against the Texans, who he plays in week 12. He caught 7 of his 8 targets for 67 receiving yards in that game. Ingram has earned 7 or more targets this season in 8 games, showing a very consistent role in his offense and importance to the Jaguars. Week 12 will be a bounce back week for Evan Ingram in the second best fantasy matchup for tight ends in a game that he's already produced against that team earlier this season. Have to talk about C.J. Stroud. C.J. Stroud faces the Jaguars, who allow the 10th most fantasy points per game to quarterbacks and the 4th most passing yards per game this season. Back in week 3, C.J. Stroud finishes the quarterback 12 against the Jaguars, throwing for 280 yards and 2 touchdowns in that first matchup. Stroud has finished as a top 12 quarterback 5 times this season. He had a huge ceiling game of 41.8 fantasy points in week 9. Across the last 3 weeks, Stroud leads all quarterbacks with 1,162 passing yards, with the second quarterback during this span trailing by 195 yards. So he has been far above anybody else the last 3 games when it comes to passing yards. Stroud has also scored the second most fantasy points and thrown the second most touchdowns during this 3-game stretch. He ranks 2nd in passing yards for the year, nearing 3,000, and he's averaging 19.6 fantasy points per game this year. Round 2 in a Jacksonville matchup is going to be a plus 1 for C.J. Stroud. Taysom Hill faces the Falcons, who allow the 8th most fantasy points per game to tight ends this season, which it may or may not apply to Taysom Hill, who is a true unicorn fantasy football player to rosters this year. Week 10 was a down week prior to the week 11 bye, but in the games prior, Hill has finished as the tight end 6, tight end 6, tight end 3, and tight end 6. In week 6, a lot of sixes there, Hill caught 7 of his 8 targets for 49 yards. In week 7, he caught 4 of his 5 targets for 50 yards, and he rushed for a touchdown. In week 8, he rushed for 63 yards and 2 touchdowns. In week 9, he caught 4 of his 5 targets, with one of them being a touchdown. He rushed for 52 yards and then threw a touchdown. There's a lot going on there when it comes down to breaking down what Taysom Hill has done this season, because he just hits all these categories that a tight end should never hit. We're not sure if Derek Carr is going to play and clear that concussion protocol or if it's going to be Jameis Winston, but I have a feeling that Hill will be a big part of the game plan regardless in this Falcons matchup. Touchy subject, but let's talk Kyle Pitts. Let's talk Kyle Pitts. It's a matchup where, you know, the Saints allow the 12th most fantasy points per game to tight ends this season, and they're a tough matchup to everybody else, to every other position. So Kyle Pitts continues to disappoint versus the expectations of what we had of him as a prospect, versus the expectations of of what we had following that rookie season. The positive note to mention, though, is the consistent targets to a degree, but you know, it's him floating around 5. It's 5 or more, 5 to 6 targets in 6 straight games. So maybe those weeks are not like Laporta targets or Travis Kelce targets, but I think just having a bit of a consistency there where he's not, you know, earning like 3 is a decent sign. He's finished 2 weeks as the tight end 8 and the tight end 3, scoring 15 plus fantasy points in those 2 games. The hope here is that we see some similar volume to week 3. He had 9 targets, or week 5, he had 11 targets in a matchup that favors tight ends in week 12. Kyren Williams. So the Cardinals allow the third most fantasy points per game to running backs and the seventh most rushing yards per game this season. Kyren Williams is expected to return to the lineup after missing the last four games due to injury. The last time he played was week 6 against the Cardinals. So he plays in week 12. He rushed the ball 20 times for 158 yards in a touchdown. He finished with 21.8 fantasy points as the running back 3 for the week. Williams has finished as a top 10 running back in 4 of his 6 appearances this season with 2 games over 100 rushing yards and 5 total touchdowns. So a couple things here. A lot of people are asking, is he going to play a lot? Is he going to be on a snap count? They released Daryl Henderson. They waived him. I think that says a lot. I think if he was only going to play 20% of the snaps and be very limited, they would keep Daryl Henderson as an insurance back while they ease Kyren back in. Waiving Daryl Henderson to me means that I think he's good to go. I think he's ready to be back in action. Is he going to touch the ball 30 times? Probably not, but will he get the majority of the volume and have a good week? I think so, in a very positive Cardinals matchup against a team he absolutely destroyed back in week 6. Trey McBride, my start of the week last week, he scored 9.3 fantasy points, which seemed like a disappointment, but that ended up being top 11. He was tight end 11. It just kind of shows you the state of the tight end position. But the Rams allow the 10th most fantasy points per game to tight ends this season. In Kyler Murray's return, he was the lead target in that specific game. 9 targets, he caught 8 of them for 131 receiving yards. So that meant a tight end 2 finish with 21.1 fantasy points back in week 10. Huge week and a huge sign that, hey, him and Kyler have a good connection in game 1. Back in week 8 with Joshua Dobbs, McBride finished as the tight end 1, scoring 25.5 fantasy points. He caught 10 of his 14 targets, which unheard of a non-Kelsey tight end for 95 yards and a touchdown. 2 games over 21 fantasy points across the last 3 weeks just shows a ton of upside, and what's most impressive of that is that it's been with 2 different quarterbacks. So I think he's just very good at football. I love him as a prospect. He had a major wide receiver profile coming in as a tight end to the league, and he's really starting to show now. So it's an opportunity for another splash week. Jerome Ford. So the Broncos allow the most fantasy points per game to running backs and also the most rushing yards per game this season. Smash matchup for running backs. It's been a handful of weeks since Jerome Ford had a super productive week, but he's shown some positive signs, right? A rushing touchdown in week 12, 107 rushing yards in week 10, 64% of the snaps played in weeks 9 through 10, 20 rushing attempts in week 9, and 5 or more targets in 2 of his last 3 games. So a lot of positive signs for Jerome Ford. He's finished 3 weeks as a top 10 fantasy running back, and week 12 is a good opportunity to, smash in a matchup that just favors running backs for a guy that has a good offensive line and is operating as that lead back in Cleveland. I kind of want to plug Cortland Sutton, not as like this big smash play this week, but I've been a guy that has faded him historically, and he's done very good things this season. The Browns are a bad matchup, but 5 straight games with the receiving touchdown. It's been great for his fantasy stock. It's an awesome streak. He has 8 on the season. I feel that with this sort of streak and category upside, he should be in lineups as a flex play until he cools off. 16 targets across the last 2 games is another positive sign for Sutton's role in this Denver offense. I've been a massive Jerry Jeudy guy since he has been a prospect, basically, but Sutton has been the guy, and it's just very clear through the touchdown production and also what he's been earning as far as targets go. All right, Stephon Diggs. I love Stephon Diggs this week. The Eagles allow the most fantasy points per game to wide receivers and the 5th most passing yards per game this season. After catching just 7 passes for 61 yards the last 2 weeks combined, absorb that. Stephon Diggs, the last 2 weeks combined, 7 catches for 61 yards. It's time for him to have his massive bounce back week. This will be needed in order to match the 9-1 Eagles offense. Diggs has finished as a top 5 wide receiver in 3 weeks and as a top 10 wide receiver in 5 weeks this season. 6 games of 11 plus targets, 5 games over 100 receiving yards, and 7 touchdowns this season. So, yes, the last 2 weeks have been bad, but yes, he's been amazing in other games this season. 6 games of 11 plus targets just shows the, again, connection that we know that he has with Josh Allen that is going to be fixed in week 12. The Bills are going to prioritize getting Stephon Diggs the ball in this matchup, and I have a feeling it's going to be a top 5 week. Got to talk about my boy DeAndre Swift. I've been a truther, one of the heaviest truthers, I think, in the industry. I truly think that. I've been just an unbelievable DeAndre Swift stan since he entered the league. The Bills allow the 13th most fantasy points per game to running backs this season. Following the week 10 bye, DeAndre Swift finished as the running back 9, scoring 19.7 fantasy points on Monday Night Football. That was fun to watch. It helped me win a matchup. Swift rushed for 76 yards and a touchdown on 12 rushing attempts and caught 3 passes for 31 yards in that game. Swift has had fantasy finishes of running back 4 in week 12, 2, running back 12 in week 4, running back 10 in week 5, running back 9 in week 6 prior to week 11, games of 175 and 130 rushing yards, and 2 weeks of 6 or more receptions shows the true dual threat ability of DeAndre Swift, who I am hoping stays hot in week 12. If we're looking for a guy that does it all, there's very few running backs in the league that I truly tie that to. And DeAndre Swift is one of those guys. Swift has played 62%+ of the snaps in 7 games this season, and he's thriving as the guy in Philadelphia. We all thought it might be a big committee. People thought it might have been Kenneth Gainwell. Some people thought it was Rashad Penny. It's DeAndre Swift. He's a baller, and he's been balling. A couple more guys here. Isaiah Pacheco faces the Raiders, who allow the 5th most fantasy points per game to running backs and also the 5th most rushing yards per game this season. Pacheco has finished outside the top 20 fantasy running backs for 3 straight weeks this season, but there's some underlying positives even in the down games for fantasy. Back-to-back games above 60% of the snaps, 16 then 19 rushing attempts, 66 then 89 rushing yards in those 2 games. Pacheco has played above 50% of the snaps in 7 straight games and has had 3 games of 20-plus touches, scored 15-plus fantasy points in 4 games as well. Week 12 is a great, great bounce-back opportunity for Isaiah Pacheco because, 1, we have the positive signs, 2, he's done it before, and 3, I don't think Patrick Mahomes is going to have to chase this game through the air against the Raiders, so look for Pacheco to bounce back. Let's talk Davante Adams. The Chiefs' offense is one of the offenses in the league that you will always tie to chasing games or having to play through the air. You look at who they have as their quarterback in Patrick Mahomes, and you always think, hey, this game is going to mean a lot of passing volume, and we have to love that for a guy like Davante Adams. He's been targeted by rookie Aiden O'Connell 13 times in back-to-back games, which have resulted in 86 and 82 receiving yards. A touchdown scored in week 11 meant him having his first top 10 fantasy finish since week 3. It's been a really, really bad season for him, but he's trending up in his volume and his production. He's going to be leaned on in this Chief matchup, so Davante Adams should stay in your lineups. Sunday Night Football, let's talk Zay Flowers. The Chargers allow the 2nd most fantasy points per game to wide receivers and the most passing yards per game by over 20 yards per game. So it's not even close what they allow through the air. Odell Beckham Jr. has been great. I think he is a great flex play, flex option. I just want to talk about Zay Flowers. He's been a wide receiver outside the top 20 for 5 straight weeks now, which has been disappointing because he leads the Ravens in receiving yards and targets. First round selection is finishes the wide receiver 16 in week 1, wide receiver 14 in week 6, and he's shown signs of positive target volume and receiving upside. And what happened? Mark Andrews is out for the season. And Odell Beckham Jr., I'd have to check on the injury news, but he's been banged up this week too. So look for Lamar Jackson to target Flowers 10-plus times in week 12 against the Chargers and for him to have another top 15 week. Austin Eckler, after finishing as the running back 6, running back 4, and running back 4 in weeks 9 through 11, Austin Eckler had a down week 11. Eckler did manage to rush for 64 yards on just 10 carries, but he had a poor receiving day in terms of, you know, what we expect him to have. 2 receptions, 6 yards. Bad Austin Eckler day. Across the last 4 weeks, though, Eckler has scored 4 total touchdowns and has had 3 games of 7 or more targets. So the Ravens game will surely be a week Eckler will look to be a big part of the passing game. It's a very tough defense, and I think he's going to be one of the focal points of the Chargers trying to get a dub against the Ravens in this matchup. So that'll do it for the week. I hope everybody here has a happy Thanksgiving. Enjoy it with your families. Really use this time to relax. I think a lot of us are extremely busy in our lives. We always have a lot going on. You know, spend the time with your family and cherish that. And not to sound morbid, but there's a lot of family members that may not be around for, you know, a long time in the future. You know, I reflect back to the last year losing my grandma and having Thanksgiving with her, and, you know, way back in the past of having Thanksgiving with my Nana and what that meant, and can't do that anymore. So truly cherish the time you have with your families. Very thankful to be doing this in the industry. You know, it's only been a few years, but the growth has been tremendous. I'm thankful to lead this brand at Fantrax, which with a lot of great staff members that I oversee and I get to collab with all the time. So very thankful for that. And thankful for an opportunity to continue to talk football and do what I love here. So if you follow me, I appreciate it. I'm always busting my ass. I think that's just like very Nick script, regardless if you like or don't like my content. But very thankful to be doing this stuff. And I hope you guys have a great Thanksgiving with your families.